Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. If you live in Toronto, you can't have missed that all the unscrupulous landlords, the soaring rents, and loopholes like renoviction and demoviction driving tenants out of the city. Is housing a human right or not? So this week I'm looking at three new movies, all opening today, about young women looking for a home. There's a mother of four who lost possession of her house, a sister and brother lost in the woods, and a university student who lost her entire family in suspicious circumstances. Gretel and Hansel, directed by Oz Perkins. Once upon a time in a kingdom far away, there was a famine in the land, and people were starving. Little Hansel and Gretel live with their mother in a little house. Gretel, age 16, played by Sophia Lillis, keeps her brother happy by telling him fairy tales before he goes to bed. But when the mother, crazed with hunger, attacks them with an axe, Gretel knows it's time to get out of here. She grabs the 8-year-old Hansel, played by Samuel Leakey, grabs his hand and flees into the woods. Perhaps they can find work at a lumber camp because their late father was a woodcutter. No such luck, but they do find a strange, pointy-roofed house painted black with the aromas of delicious food wafting out of the windows. Hansel sneaks in and starts gorging on all the cakes and tarts and the roasts and stews he finds on a table. Gretel is more cautious. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Turns out it's the home of an old crone with wrinkled face and fingers dyed black, played by Alice Krieger. She invites the kids to stay with her in their own room, and she teaches Gretel how to mix potions using her book of spells. She has magic powers. That's why she lives in the woods. Men don't like women who know the truth, she says. And she tells Gretel she's just like her. She only has to learn how to harness her magical abilities. But Gretel knows something is not right. Where does all this food come from? There are no animals or fruits or vegetables around them. Why is she having dreams about crying children? What's happened to Hansel? And what's behind that hidden door in the pantry? Gretel and Hansel is a reboot of the famous Grimm fairy tale, so it's no spoiler to say it sticks to the basic story, so you know more or less what's going to happen. The differences include the parents don't abandon them in the woods, they don't leave the little trail of crumbs, it's not a gingerbread house, things like that. On the plus side, there's this sort of feminist coming-of-age subtext, and Alice Krieger is amazing playing the witch, a new style witch. On the minus side, they have gratuitous references to The Wizard of Oz. Why? And all the characters keep going, like imitating pigs for some reason. I don't get it. What's that all about? I love the look of this low-budget film, from triangle spy holes to the witch's forked staff like a divining rod, and the neat symmetry of the plot. So if you love fairy tales and you want to see any movie made from a fairy tale, you might want to check this one out. The Rhythm Section, directed by Reed Morano. Stephanie, played by Blake Lively, used to be a star student at Oxford, but when her entire family was wiped out in a plane crash, her life fell apart. Now she's a junkie turning tricks at a low-rent brothel in London, earning just enough to pay for her next fix. Until she meets a freelance journalist, played by Raza Jaffrey, who tells her the plane crash wasn't an accident. It was a deliberate, and the killer is still out there with a vast conspiracy covering it all up. So she makes her way to northern Scotland to track down this mysterious source. But when she gets there, she's attacked from behind by a mysterious bearded guy. He's a rogue MI6 agent, played by Jude Law, who knows exactly what happened. She wants revenge on the killer, and so he agrees to train her in violent one-on-one defense in this sort of a boot camp, as long as she does exactly what he says. Soon enough, she's working as a hitman, flying from Tangier to Berlin to New York to Marseille, knocking off various criminals and spies. And there's a former CIA agent named Mark Serra, played by Sterling K. Brown, who sends her from place to place firsthand. So who is she actually working for? Will she ever find the killer she's looking for? And are the men she meets on the way potential lovers or dangerous killers or both? Okay, the rhythm section, and I have no idea why it's called the rhythm section, is a so-so action thriller in the manner of the Bourne series. It has some tense moments. There's a few life and death scenes and lots of very good chase scenes. And the weird twisting camera pulls you into Stephanie's panicky and confused mood, though I was starting to get carsick after a while. Blake Lively and Jude Law both play against type as violent, stone-cold killers. And I believe that they were who they're playing. My biggest problem is it's impossible to tell the good guys from the bad guys. The politics are really confusing. And there's nothing original in it. And the story is really, really muddy. It just, you know, sort of cranks along its way. I don't expect much from an action thriller. So it was okay. But they really better clean up the plot and make the characters less robotic if they want to turn it into a series. Rosie, directed by Patty Breathnock, or Breathnock, and written by Roddy Doyle. It's present-day London. Rosie Davis, played by Sarah Green, is a devoted young mother with four adorable kids, played by first-time actors Ellie O'Halloran, Ruby Dunn, Darragh McKenzie, and Molly McCann, ranging from toddlers to tween. Kaylee concentrates on her homework. Millie is a shy one who needs to be comforted. Alfie loves jumping around. And Madison is fine as long as she has her little stuffed bunny. Since her husband, John Paul, played by Mo Dunford, works late at a restaurant kitchen, it's up to Rosie to get the kids fed, clean, bathed, brought to school and back, comforted, and tucked into bed at night. An almost impossible task. So imagine what happens when their landlord suddenly evicts them from the rented house. What are they supposed to do? Now, Rosie's number one task is finding a place to stay for the night. But with a concert in town, all the hotels are booked solid. So where can they find a room? Can she keep the kids' lives normal without anyone noticing they're suddenly homeless? Okay, Rosie is an intensely personal, hyper-realistic look at a day and a half in the lives of a family in crisis. Viewers are dropped right into the middle of their lives, a short peek at an ongoing story. Movies about love, pride, poverty, families, bullying, schooling, homelessness, and the all around the fraying social welfare state and the lack of places to live. It's filmed with this close-up handheld camera capturing the cramped, claustrophobic feel of it and the degree of tension they're always facing. So the movie's sentimental, but it's not cloying, and with Sarah Green fantastic in the main role. Rosie is intense, and I want to warn you, it'll probably make you cry. But if you're in the mood for some kitchen sink realism, this is the one to see. Gretel and Hansel, Rosie, and the Rhythm Section all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.